Thank you, Chris Webb. Thank you for ministering to us through the spoken word this week. It's just been such a blessing. Thank you so much. And Andy, thank you for ministering to us this morning and tonight to lead us to the suffering of the cross. Thank you for your vulnerability, talking about the reality of the struggle with some of the realities in marriage, some of the pain and the pilgrimage. And I think it just connects to our week in terms of what we've been talking about. I so appreciate your willingness to be honest about what's going on. And as I was sitting there listening about the reality of marriage, I'm thinking about, for those of us in this room who are married, that a week at a conference, my guess is there's been at least one time where there's been a little tension, conflict, a little miscommunication or whatever. But it's not just about at a conference. The reality for us as marrieds is we're in this partnership together that God's iron sharpening iron, and we all get to places where we struggle. And so I appreciate your willingness to talk about that. And what I wanted to do, as I was sitting there, the Lord just prompted me just to say to us as staff, we are in a battle, and these marriages that we are in take an incredible amount of attack. And just because of your word, I was sensing that I just need to remind those of us in the room that are married that it's about our marriage over our ministry. Our marriage is more important. And we make available to you that are married the option of going registration free to a Family Life Marriage Conference. And knowing the realities of what we face, my encouragement is you take advantage of that. That sometime in the next year or two that you figure out how to get away as a couple, get some time to focus on the reality, because the reality is we're all in this journey. So Andy, thanks for sharing that reality, and it's a reality that all of us who are married understand, and it's an encouragement just to step forward into it. And also, I just appreciate your encouragement about the pilgrimage and that reality of entering into the suffering. And that's what our week has been about in a lot of ways, is how do we enter into the reality of one another's stories? How do we experience what they are going through? And so I'm going to come back to that, but just thanks for leading us there. So thank you very much. And before I kind of dive in, I want to also take a moment to introduce a group of people who are dedicated to us, those of us who are staff in the room, and it's our board of directors who give leadership to the ministry, and they are with us tonight, sitting over in the bleachers over here. So thank you so much for your service to us. These men and women give an incredible amount of time and energy to give leadership to this movement and to make sure that we're well cared for. So I just want to say thank you again for being here. And we have 2 days of board meetings coming up after this while you guys all travel home. So we'll enjoy that. So thank you. One of the realities for us is we're at a conference like this, is we come to the end. And I think about what has gone on this week, and it's just been, in a lot of ways, a very memorable time, a very emotional time at times. And I just want to say thank you to those of you who are here who have joined with our staff, who are partners with us. I just wish I could come up to each of you and express my appreciation to you personally, and thank you for being a part of this time, and thank you for your ministry, and what a privilege it is for us to serve alongside of you. So thank you for being here. I'd also wish that I could take a time with each of you as staff and come up to you and put my arms on your shoulders. And let you know what an amazing privilege it is to be on the team with you, to labor for the sake of the gospel with you. I wish I could come up to each of you and put my hands on your shoulders and hear about what God is doing in your heart, to sit down over coffee and to hear what are the issues going on. How has this week affected you? What are the things that have confused you or made you mad? What are the things that have inspired you and moved you forward? I just wish I could do that with each of you individually, but obviously that's not possible. So what I'd like to do tonight, collectively, if I could, is just wrap my arms around us and just share a few thoughts of what God's put on my heart as we think about ending an event, but moving out into our calling of what he's called us to do. So I just have a few thoughts to share with you as we come to a close. We have spent a lot of time talking about partnerships. We have spent a lot of time talking about what it would look like to link arms and to move together and to look at how we could be better together than we are apart, what it looks like for us to recognize that we're just a small part of the body of Christ. And as we have gone through this week and this weekend, we have hit some weighty topics. And it would be very easy to take each of those topics and start feeling the weight and the burden of those. I'm supposed to lament more, and so I put that on my shoulder. Oh, I need to care about people who have different stories, who are from different backgrounds than me. I need to enter into their pain. I put that on my shoulder. I think about what I need to do differently about helping to end sex trafficking, and I throw that on my back. And I think about what it looks like to partner, and how do I work that into my schedule, and I kind of hook that around my waist, and I start carrying these things. And over time, each of these topics by themselves can just start feeling like these big weights. And you could say, don't you understand? I'm already busy. You feel pressed down. You feel like these things are upon you. And you could ask the question, don't you get it? I'm already busy. How do I fit this into my schedule? But these things aren't about to-dos that we add to a to-do list. They're not things we put into our schedule as an item to check off. But what this week and this weekend has been about is looking at how do we grow our heart to be more like the heart of Jesus, so that our heart aches and weeps and breaks at the things that break his heart. It's been about growing our heart so that we would understand what other stories are about. What are the sufferings that other people have entered into? It's not about understanding what our life is like and just making sure we have the right equations and the right things that we're doing. But this week has been about growing our heart to be more like Christ, but also growing our understanding of what other people are going through. So that when we talk about loving our neighbor or loving one another, it would be more sincere and more relevant because of our understanding. We've been about this week and this weekend talking about what it would look like if we could unite ourselves with the rest of the body of Christ to lock arms and to say, we're going forward together with Jesus and with one another out into the battlefield. We're not going it alone. It's not about us. It's not about our individual ministry or our individual calling, but we're linking together to figure out how do we move forward to do that. And so as we grow our heart to be more like Christ, as we deepen in our understanding about other people and their journey, and as we look at what it means to unite together, we become stronger as we move forward. There is a lie that we could believe that is, if we give more space to more people, we give other people a voice, or we somehow share power, that it's some kind of zero-sum game. That if I give other people voice, then I lose my voice. If I give other people power, I lose my power. It is not a zero-sum game. As we link arms together, and as we understand how do we come together to hear and listen and understand so that others can, their voice can be contributed, it makes us stronger, it makes us better, it makes us more complete as the body, because we are all, as we have said, image bearers. As we think about power, money, whatever the issues are, as we share that, we don't lose, the body gains, the body grows. And so these weighty topics that we wrestle with and these issues that we surround ourselves with this week could lead you to a place where you start wondering, have we somehow changed our mission? Have we somehow moved away from the calling that God has on this movement? Are we getting distracted into some secondary issue? And let me just be really straightforward and clear. It is the calling of Crew to help fulfill the Great Commission by winning, building, and sending Christ-centered, multiplying disciples into the harvest. That is who God has called us to be. We are not diverting from that in one ounce. It is what motivated and Bill and Vonette Bright as they stepped the first foot on the UCLA campus in 1951. It is still our calling. It is still where we're going to go. It's about doing evangelism and discipleship in a way that every person on the planet can have an opportunity to know Christ, and that we would do that in a way where the love that we have for one another in the body of Christ would be evidence to a lost and dying world that we are truly followers of Jesus, and that as we talk about loving our neighbor as ourselves, there would be efficacy to that because of the reality of what they see in us, not just what we say our mission is, but as we live that out and go forward to accomplish it. Our mission has not changed since 1951. But if you haven't noticed, the culture in 2017 is different than the culture in 1951. So our question is, how do we carry the gospel with that same mission to the culture of today? How do we do that in a way where we love one another and understand one another, and where we love our neighbor so that they recognize that there is something different about what we're doing? So when we walk through this and we think about our mission and we think about what we need to do as we go forward from here, you can have this thing, all these things that can feel like a to-do list. And it's not about a to-do list, it's about changing our heart, allowing God to stir our hearts in a way to do whatever He wants to do. So what do we do when we go back? When you get in the car, on the plane, wherever, how you're getting back, what do we do? There are simply some very simple things that we do. First of all, we wake up every morning and we acknowledge our dependence on the power of the Holy Spirit, that we cannot do anything apart from His empowering grace and mercy in our lives. And we bend our knee and we acknowledge our desperate need for the Holy Spirit to fill and empower us and control us. We get up every day and we think about, how do I share my faith and go about doing what it is that God's called us to do? How do I share my faith in a way that connects to the heart of people that need to know Him? You heard this morning from Lena talking about how these American college students came to her country and she listened to the gospel and it had seemingly no effect until 2 months later when the Holy Spirit prompted her to respond and trust Christ, and her ministry has continued for 20 years in the former Soviet Union in Russia, and God's using her. And quite honestly, the first people that came and shared the gospel with her maybe never found out what happened. They could have walked away wondering what took place. And yet, God's Spirit's at work. And so we go about, in the power of the Holy Spirit, doing what He's called us to do, going about sharing the gospel and making disciples. Jenny did a great job last night just going, recounting about the discipleship-making process that she experienced as a college student, and how God's used that and how He's multiplying that in the lives of many, many other people. So we get up every day thinking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, sharing our faith, making disciples. We ask God to stir our hearts for the things that stir His heart and go out and do what He's called us to do. We go about doing the ministry that He's called us to, and it's not just about proclaiming the gospel, we go about living the gospel. When we talk about witnessing, we often mean proclamation. We're going witnessing, which means we're going to go proclaim the gospel, which is obviously an essential activity that we are very committed to. When we think about witnessing, it's about proclamation. When the world witnesses us, it's about how we live. We get caught up in witnessing being about proclamation, but what the world looks at, what they want to witness, is what makes any difference in our lives, this gospel that we're talking about. Are we using it in a way, are we just talking about the future, about eternity, which is absolutely the central issue in life, it's where you're going to spend eternity. But are we also living the gospel in such a way that we are loving our neighbors, entering into their pain, entering into the suffering of the other parts of the body of Christ, and allowing God's work in and through us to do what He's called us to do. Now, this week, I've been amazingly encouraged by what God has been doing here. I'm encouraged by you, by your love for Jesus, by the reality that we keep coming back here because we have this gnawing, guttural issue in our lives that we know that we have this desperate need for Jesus to continue to grow us up into His image and to fall more in love with Him and to experience that love that as we experienced it at first, that first love, we keep coming back to falling more in love with Jesus. And I'm so encouraged by the reality of how you love Jesus. I'm also so encouraged by what I see in terms of your dependence on the Holy Spirit in humility and knowing that it's not about what you do, but it's about how you yield yourselves to His power. I'm so encouraged by you, by the perseverance that I see as you go about doing ministry day in and day out, making sure that you are honoring the calling that Christ has given you. It is such an honor and a privilege to serve with you, and I so appreciate your commitment to grow. And this week has been a growing time. It's been a time that we've been challenged, and some of those things make us uncomfortable. But I appreciate your willingness to stay engaged, to keep talking about the issues, engage with one another to see what it looks like for us to move forward together. I began the week by reminding us that our battle is not against flesh and blood, that our battle is against the evil one and against the spiritual forces. That is where our battle is. I also reminded us that greater is He who is within us than he who is in the world. That Jesus has conquered sin, He has conquered the evil one, and I want to leave you with just what will maybe seem like a strange passage to end with. But it's in Matthew chapter 12, verse 25 and following. I'm just going to hit a couple of verses. You know the story. The Pharisees are accusing Jesus of casting out demons by the power of Satan. And Jesus just absolutely and categorically denies it. He tells them that there is no way a house divided can stand. And then He makes this amazing analogy where He says to them, Don't you know that you don't go into a strong man's house to rob him, but first you bind the strong man, and then you can plunder his house? And you read that, and you can start thinking, wait, they're talking about you casting out demons, and you're denouncing that. Well, what's this mean? And I think what Jesus is doing is he is responding to them and telling this analogy, this small little parable, if you will, and he's letting them know that you think I'm doing this in the power of the evil one. What I'm telling you is I have bound the power of the evil one, and I am about to plunder his domain. He has come to seek and to save the lost, to bring his kingdom here on earth. And in order to do that, he has to first conquer sin, bind the evil one, and then he can plunder his domain, the souls that he is trying to hold on to. Brothers and sisters, fellow believers, Jesus has bound the evil one. His shed blood on the cross has permanently disabled him. As we walk in unity, we're able to live above any scheme that the evil one would want to do. As long as we walk in dependence and move forward to do what he's called us to do, do you know what time it is? It is time to go and plunder. We get to go about doing what he's called us to do. He is doing this work. He's given us this message of reconciliation. He has put in our hearts this redemption that we know at a very real level. We have the good news. We have the power to love one another and to love our neighbor in ways that the world has never seen. If we will do what he's called us to do in humility and dependence and locking arms with one another, we can go about doing what he's called us to do, plunder the souls of men and women from the domain of darkness, bring it into the domain of light. We can go and plunder the Satan's domain where he has a stronghold on parts of our cities and our campuses, people who are experiencing pain and suffering. We can go into those spaces if we go together, if we go in dependence upon one another, if we go in the name of Jesus, recognizing his shed blood on the cross. We can go and plunder, and we have that opportunity to do that together, and that is what we're going to be about as we leave here, full of faith, trusting in the power of the Holy Spirit, and doing the calling that he has given to us. It's been a pleasure to be with you. Let me pray for us, and Run 51 will lead us out through an amazing time of worship. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you having spent a week together in worship and prayer and learning. We come from a time where we've had to engage and understand and grow our hearts, and we continue to come to you with full submission, saying, Lord, do with us as you will. Have your way, Lord. Don't make it be about us, about our individual ministry or our ministry as a whole of crew. Don't make it about just one part of the body. Have your way with us and the rest of the body of Christ, that we would come in humility and repentance before you and say, God, have your way. Do what you will. Allow us the privilege, if you would, be so kind and gracious to be a part of what your Spirit is doing as we humbly and full of faith follow you to accomplish your purpose. And it's in the matchless name of Jesus that we say, amen.